Right back at you on game night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. We're live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Toronto Maple Leafs, Craig Berube, former team in town, the St. Louis Blues. A little redemption, not only for getting fired, but a horrible loss earlier this week for his current team.
Now, is he going to be at the Kentucky Derby with you, or what is Bob Baffert going with you?
Okay, do you feel like my blazer reflects someone about to watch a horse race?
It looks like a man, an old-timey, like, colonial-era gentleman. I love it, for the record.
This is
I absolutely love that coat. I would wear that in a heartbeat.
He looks great. You look great, bud.
Yeah. You're one of the match tonight, aren't
you? Another Blue Industry special right here.
I gotta set you up with this. Kicking you out of the house more than ever lately. Hey, you're going every game.
Well, listen, they may need my help tonight.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
You think, Sammy, they could use some help, or is it just a hiccup the other night against Columbus, and we'll see more of what we saw at the beginning of the week versus the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Oh, that's actually a phrase. You know what that is? Not for our show.
You know what that was? You know what time was tell?
Nervous.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue.
No, I actually...
And I'm scared.
Here's what I'll say.
That's what he's saying.
Can't we just sports talk radio and go, we'll see.
I'm scared to say so because I'm scared to embarrass myself.
Here's what I'll say. If they are the same old Leafs, they'll win tonight resoundingly.
So will they convince you they're not by losing?
So if they lose, maybe they're the new Leafs? I've really twisted myself.
Left it a time will tell.
I will say.
Habits take time to break.
Tuesday really twisted my brain into a knot.
Yeah.
Did not see that one coming, so.
It was confounding.
It's going to be really interesting to see tonight.
Where are you?
Time will tell.
Because we had yesterday's show, and I think we're all in agreement that the loss to Columbus wasn't necessarily a indication of what we saw earlier being this facade.
Mm-hmm.
But how important is it that it's a good show tonight? And if they don't get on track tonight, is that put more emphasis on something still fundamentally wrong here?
Well, no, yeah, well, it does. But to me, you have the chance to isolate Columbus and call it a one-off and say, yeah, outside that game, we've been this or we've changed this. You can see we're different. We had that one night, but if you're bad tonight, it's like this was a crucial night for Craig Berube, right? It's important to him.
Oh, yeah.
It's a crucial night to show that you were different. If they're bad tonight in what seems to be a very obvious we need a night moment, then I think we can start drawing out some bigger things from it, which would be concern.
Well, if it's so important, why are they starting the backup goalie?
Oh, he did it. Joseph Woll, the backup goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs, getting a nod with 10% of the season behind us almost.
Do you want to go to Craig Berube first or comment first?
Let's go to Craig Berube. All right, let's hear what he has to say.
On Joseph Woll.
He's been obviously progressing in the right direction for some time now, and we kind of had this date picked out that he would get this start. It's just basically making sure he's ready, comfortable. Everybody's on board with him, ready to go. And this is where we picked.
They picked. What does that mean? Like, isn't it like you just
rehab
so you're ready and then you play?
It means they've got a master plan. That's what it means.
I hate that. That sounds very overcooked.
So, you know where I stood.
It's the plan.
And I had a different plan than you, Craig. Yeah. And you heard mine yesterday. Mm-hmm. I would have gone right back to Stolarz.
Mm-hmm.
And barring a Hildeby kind of meltdown, I had him starting Saturday night versus the Boston Bruins. So where are you on Joseph Woll?
I am that of the camp that if he's ready to go and he was supposed to be 1A, he's the younger guy. He's got more years in his contract for more dollars. Get him in as soon as you can. Let's get started. Let's figure out what he's got. Well, see if he's ready. Guys, he didn't tear his groin. He had tightness.
I have no problem with that, except I've watched Stolarz get shot out of a cannon.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
What were your stats on his goals? He's given up one, two, two, one.
No, he's given up one in the first game and two in every other start.
Okay. Like
you're gonna win a lot of games.
You're taking
end of the Hall of Fame if you do your whole career.
You're taking the hottest goaltender out of 32 teams and putting him on the shelf.
Yeah,
preach it, buddy. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, he sold me.
It's bad sports radio, but agree.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, there are, over the past 3 or 4 years, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Over the past 3 or 4 years, he's right there in goals saved with Hellebuck, Shesterkin, and one other guy.
Cook's glorious.
Like, per game, he's been one of the best goalies. I know we don't know how many he can play, but he's been good.
The other thing that bothers me as well is that I'm thinking the game versus Columbus, where you had ample reason to pull
Hildeby,
beast, because you're protecting Stolarz for Thursday night. Didn't happen. I'm like, if you had this master plan all along and you knew Joseph Woll was going to start Thursday, why don't you halfway through at 3-0 get that kid out and still give your team a chance to win in Columbus?
You're absolutely right, because this totally changes the perspective of that game. Not one of us came in the next day and said, how didn't you get Hill to be out of there?
Yeah.
He was clearly off, clearly not ready. He was bad from the jump. At 2-0, but at least 3-0 for sure, you could have gone, okay, we need to get some stability in net and put Stolarz in. But the idea, and all of us agreed, was that he was going to play the next game and you just didn't want to overtax.
So maybe Berube didn't know that Woll was playing on Thursday.
I don't think they knew.
Like, I mean,
No. Go listen to the clip.
Well, he says they picked out the date, but they didn't know he was going to be ready by the date.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Craig Berube, you're coming in here, it's kind of hard to depend on the fact
he's healthy and he's cleared and he's practiced with the team. You knew you were going to him Thursday.
We kind of had this date picked out.
In that case, I am now retroactively upset about the Columbus non-pull, right? Hildeby was bad.
He was bad.
And, like, obviously not on for that night.
You know what really grinds my gears?
He was shaking. He was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they are probably really appreciative of what Stolarz has done so far, but they're not willing now to let him roll with it because that would probably change the feel or the plan. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to deviate from the plan. They're in it for, between Woll and Stolarz, they're in it for the long game.
Yeah,
right?
But results should change your plan. That's more information to update your plan with. And when you have a guy who's been as good as Stolarz, it's okay to change the plan. Say, sorry, Joseph Woll. In sports, sometimes, isn't there expression, getting Wally pipped? Isn't this like an old...
I don't know what the meaning is, but it's a saying.
Well, it's like a guy. He played for the Yankees, okay. And he was hurt, was it, and someone else came in. I don't know.
Was it the Knicks?
I feel like
it might have been the Knicks.
Sure.
I don't know.
Whoever came in was better than old Wally, and Wally didn't get his job back. So I just got Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe in my ear.
Okay, let's follow it up with Craig Berube's thoughts on how Wall's been throughout this process of not starting the season.
He's been fine. I mean, listen, injuries happen. You can't control them. You know, it's disappointing. He was disappointed for sure. And he had a good camp and was ready to go. And disappointing on his part and ours. I mean, but that's part of the game. And you got to deal with it. And he's dealt with it in the right way.
I think we need that Berube listen drop paired with the Cooper listen drop. Elliot says it a lot too. We could probably have a whole segment just called listen where we give a solid opinion.
Like we're not listening.
Yeah, we've asked you the question.
Wally Pipp was the first Yankee to lead the American League in home runs due to his famous replacement by Lou Gehrig Players began to say they were Wally Pipped when fate were placed in a lineup, especially if it was due to a minor injury.
I heard that.
Led the team in home runs.
Yeah. First Yankee to ever lead the American League in home runs. And then his replacement was Lou Gehrig. Decent player.
Good career.
Anyways.
So let's play some scenarios out.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. Here's the first scenario.
Okay.
That Joseph Wall goes in.
Shut up.
No, I wasn't going there first.
Okay.
Doesn't play well at all.
3 goals against and 6 shots. It's 10
minutes. I'm just saying, though, like, there is a bit of an educated guess here for Craig Berube to go to Joseph Wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I am taking out a very hot goaltender for the one that I believed prior to the season starting was my number one goalie.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't happen now, that's a tough one for Craig Berube to wear going into Boston, is it not? That he took a chance on Joseph Wall, who probably hasn't had much more than one or two practices, full practices, to come back off this injury.
You think that's it? Yeah, pretty limited.
I don't think there's been a ton. Okay, I don't know what the number is, but I'm just saying that you could have squeezed in another good practice for him on Friday, even if you thought about him on Saturday night, but you chose to go to St. Louis. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is he from St. Louis?
Guy, yeah.
So is there an emotional attachment to this as well? Make the guy happy?
Maybe.
Probably. That's probably a portion of it.
I do think that if you're Stolarz, you are comfortable sitting for longer stretches and staying hot, right? He's been a career backup. Last year, he didn't play a ton behind Bobrovsky, is the word I was trying to say. Like, if there's a guy that's going to be able to not cool off after missing, well, I guess he'll go Monday to Saturday with starts without missing 6 days.
Yeah, I don't.
Got some experience with it.
I don't see it that way.
No?
Not from a competitive athlete look.
This guy
do not agree.
I'm like, I get the dream start out of the gate in this market, and you don't give me a chance to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'd be pissed.
But I think I agree. Listen, I think he probably should have started tonight. But I mean, to play devil's advocate, no goalie is. I mean, there's Shesterkin plays 55 or 6. Like, no goalie plays that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the old days of Luongo playing 65 games a year, Berdour playing 70 games a year. It's just kind of the way it goes. But when it's early, I agree. Like, you're kind of pressing here. You're riding the hot hand. It's going to fall off eventually. But I think, you know, Wall's going to get his starts. So, to play devil's advocate,
it is funny. Like, when, I do agree when his expectations would have changed for Stolarz, because he knew going into the year it was a split him situation. That was the plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, has he played enough and well enough to think that they should completely override the plan by game 8?
Yeah. And to your point, Sammy, there's a lot of hockey here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is this 4-6?
It's been a lot, yeah. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday coming up, yeah.
Monday.
It will be 4-6, yeah.
And then you're at
5-8.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I get it. But I think it does speak to, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but you got to get Wall in there. This is a guy that has never been proven to be a stable NHLer. And didn't end well last year when he
broke my little heart into a million pieces.
Broke your heart for game 7. Yeah.
The last thing he's done on the ice is get scored on with 4 seconds left in game 6.
And you did give him 11 sheets.
Yeah.
Which is a ton of money for a guy who has never played 40 games in the NHL.
You know, I think there is a fair question to be made that, like, even 100% healthy, are you sure he's better than Stolarz? And I'm not saying this about Stolarz so much. Like, it's not like Wall has this sample size of games where you know he's a 9-10 guy in the league. Like, he has a lot of games where he's been very good, and he probably is. But he's pretty young and hasn't had a track record yet. So get him in. Let him start building the track record. Let's make the decision on merit at some point.
So then the flip side, he goes in and he's outstanding tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Leafs win 4-1. He's out. He makes 35 stops.
I mean, 50 safe shutout at Stolarz Saturday night.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
You heard the coach. They kind of got a plan here. They've written some dates in.
We kind of have.
So you shouldn't have a plan.
So
three goalies.
I think based
play the
on
good one.
On
the one that's saving the most. Yeah.
Based on Wall going in tonight, they'll probably go to Stolarz Saturday night.
Yep. You'd have to think.
He's certainly earned that.
No question.
All right. So Berube playing his former team. We got some clips from him on the idea of going back. Do you want to do the cup ring one, or do you want to actually do a proper, a full?
Well, we could end with the cup ring.
All right. Let's start just with what he had to say on facing the Blues.
Clip three.
You know, I mean, obviously, there's emotions, but once the puck drops, it's over. We're just playing. We need a good response here tonight with our team. That's what I'm focused on.
Does that sound like a guy that's not feeling the emotions a little bit?
That's first. He sounds a little rattled there.
First time I've heard him talk where it hasn't been like this direct, decisive, knows exactly what he's going
to
say.
Like when you go to a party, you're like, oh, my ex-girlfriend's here. That's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm totally good with it.
Hey, Kathy.
I didn't know Jordana Kyrou was going to be here tonight.
Once the puck drops, it's over.
Kathy, break your heart.
You know, maybe. The Kyrou thing is funny. I did think that it probably matters more to Kyrou. You know, like he was a guy who is still there and almost won the sort of standoff that him and Berube had. I'm sure he has great interest in having a night tonight.
Big time.
Yeah, I think... I know Kyrou came out, was pretty emotional, and had to backtrack a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just part of a growth for Kyrou. He probably just a little immature still with not only the comments that he made about Berube leaving, but also probably the way he handled Berube challenging him.
What did he say again? I can't quite remember what he said, but he was pretty critical of him.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he said either.
It was just a reference that he's no longer here now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know in what.
Someone asked about their relationship or something. Yeah, he didn't answer the question.
Listen, those coaches, they challenge guys.
Yeah.
And sometimes some handle it better than others. And I know we've got a clip of Brad Marchand as a veteran and a guy that's been in the league a long time, and he talks about Montgomery as well challenging him, and we'll get into that.
Do
probably
you play it?
No, let's leave it. It's we'll talk about it a little later in our national show, but that's what those type of coaches do. I wrote an article today for the Toronto Star, and I kind of referenced that Berube has had a great influence early in changing the culture, and I kind of compared it to Pratt Burns coming in the early 90s that led to two conference finals. These guys, that's what they do better than most when it comes to, you know, getting results early. And sometimes you got to frighten some guys. Some guys handle it well. Some guys don't handle it well. It's not for everybody, but I think Kyrou, young still.
Yeah.
Now making $8 million a year.
The comment, just to clarify, was when he got asked about it, he said, I've got no comment. He's not my coach anymore.
Mm.
Which.
Berube had done a lot for St. Louis at that point.
Yeah.
People didn't
and he got,
like,
remember the game after he got booed?
Yeah.
He was crying after. It was actually a tough scene there to end it.
It was. That. But, you know, Braden Schenn made some comments recently. I forget who interviewed him, but said something to the effect of Berube was hard on guys and direct. But the next day, it was like it never happened. He asked you how you're doing, whatever, you know, and that, when you're a kid, when you're young, it's tough. You've always been great for Kyrou to take that criticism and just move on, maybe. And I think it is sort of a veteran thing. And hopefully for the Leafs, they're older now, their core is older, and they can handle it in a mature way.
And you know, it's coming first. It's a long season.
You don't think we're going to hear a Willie criticism clip from Berube in the next 2 weeks? You know? Well, next month, we'll call it. It's happening.
And this team, like, you know, Blues are off to a decent start. 8 points from 7 games, 4-3. But I do think, you know, remember how hard Nick Robertson played against Sheldon Keefe in the second game of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Where he was buzzing all over the place in that first period and was just, like, the best he's been all year? Mm-hmm. This is a good team that probably has some feelings about Berube and how they want to beat him and show him. I'm sure there's a bit of cash on the board tonight in the St. Louis room, probably some in the Leafs room too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it has a potential to be a much more intense Thursday out of conference game than you would usually be used to, I think.
In 15 minutes, we've got Andy Strickland, co-host of Cam and Strick podcast, to talk about Berube, mm-hmm. his days in St. Louis, and what we'll see tonight. Top of the hour, we got Adam Oates as well. And Adam's been on the show before, breaking down a ton of stuff.
Is he on video?
Yeah.
Thank God, because I never know when he's done talking. Seeing him will help and get his cadence
dialed
in.
We'll get into power plays. We'll get into Stamkos's Nashville slow start. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that as well.
We do have another Berube clip on Facing the Blues. Do you want to hear that, Blues?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that clip four, please.
Well, it's great. And, you know, just got a lot of memories there for sure. Been there a long time, worked with a lot of people for a long time. And I have a lot of real good feelings for these people and all that. But in the end, it's like we need 2 points. Like I can't stress that enough. Like it's just about us.
You know, you said the other day you didn't love some of the comments from the team after the loss. I love these comments from Berube, who's really not making it about himself, and he's making it about where the team is at on their schedule, which is really nice.
He's a guy that's played with, correct me if I'm wrong, half a dozen teams. Like at a certain point, you're like, yeah, okay.
But you have experienced playing former teammates before, and there's something extra, something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, he's going to feel it tonight for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's going into St. Louis tonight, but at the same time, you look across and you want to beat the team beside you that at the end of the day thought you weren't good enough to stick around.
Right.
That's what you remember the most.
And they got this game against the Blues, and then next Saturday is in St. Louis. So within 2 weeks, he's got to deal with this one. So there you go.
Now, who asked him about it? Where's his Stanley Cup ring? Like today, he was going to wear it.
That
really,
honestly, awesome.
I think it was maybe Kevin McGrann that asked him. I'm not sure. I recognize all the different voices, but I think it may be McGrann. Do you want to hear the clip?
Sure.
We have clip five, please, Derek.
On where's his cup ring?
Yeah.
Stanley cup ring. I don't know. At home somewhere. it's at home. Like I don't know exactly, but it's there. Well, it's not on display. It's probably somewhere at home. My wife's probably got it. Maybe she sold it. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'm not sure exactly where it's at.
I don't think he needs the money.
Well, I was gonna say, like, you have to be in a certain financial situation to not be aware of it. It's like if you ask me where my daughter is, me being like, I don't know. Like, that's a Stanley Cup ring.
So when I got traded to New York, I did ask Mark eventually, Messier, like, you got six of these. How come I haven't seen you wear one?
Yeah.
And he says, like, where's yours? And I'm like, I don't know if he's busting on me or what, but I'm like, yeah, I don't have one. He goes, I'll make you a deal. When you win one this year and I wear one, we'll wear them together next season.
That's amazing.
I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to win the cup. I'm going to get a ring.
One of my favorite cup ring stories. So Bree's dad, Clark Gillies, lost two cup rings over his life. They both found their way back eventually. One of them, he was driving a snowmobile, wearing the cup ring in the gloves. Snowmobile flips in like a creek in Vermont or something.
Oh my!
You know, a bit of a crisis. They're pulling people out. Cup ring's gone. They don't realize it till like days later that it wasn't on his hand anymore. In the spring, the plow that shoveled the snow up on the banks on the side of the road, the snow melted, and they came across this like shiny object, and they found the cup ring.
Oh my
God. The next spring when the melt came.
What are the odds?
Is that not crazy?
Oh my God, that is crazy.
I know.
That's crazy.
There's got to be a like I've misplaced mine
on
a number of occasions. Yes.
That seems like something that's either on your finger or in some protective.
It's okay for the first hour, but if you go 2 or 3 days, you're in a full panic.
Do you know the other time he lost his? Islanders are driving the bus back, a long bus ride. And not long, but on the East Coast, they used to bus to a lot of the places. And they had to pull the bus over to throw all the beer cans into the woods off the bus. And he's throwing the beer cans into the woods off the Islanders bus. And he throws his ring. It's dark outside. He says, hey, I threw my cup ring. They can't find it. The team is off the bus with the few flashlights they have trying to find the cup ring.
Did they find it?
They did. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I guess it's like an hour-long thing, he says. They're looking for the ring.
I mean, they'll look for it for Clark Gillies, but, you know, it's the seventh defenseman does it. Then maybe it's hard of a look.
Yeah, a little different maybe. Yeah. Anyway.
That's awesome.
It is remarkable, though, like, so many people have never seen one before. That's the other thing. Every once in a while when I put it on, it's like, I've never seen one before. And mine, like, it's okay.
Yours is great. Yours is at the start of good ring.
It's wearable.
I shouldn't even
right?
say the Islanders.
You look at them today now, it's like, what do you, clean this through the car wash?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Crazy.
No, they're absolute. They're like coffee table pieces. The Islanders had good ones, but I don't know that before that they were great. The Islanders were pretty good size.
All right, do we get an update on Fraser Minton?
Yeah, he had been mentioned when I hadn't really heard anything much about him, but he did mention him today for Brubay. So if you want to hear that clip six.
So obviously it was hard on him because, you know, getting hurt in a rookie game and that early in camp and not be able to participate in the main camp and things like that was difficult for him. Like, you know, he's a first-year pro and ready to go, but... Again, like injuries happen and it's hard and nobody's happy about it, but you got to deal with it. And he's done it in the right way. He's got a real good head on his shoulders, this guy.
There you go.
Glowing review.
Just down to the Marlies. He's eligible now for the Marlies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's got maybe an overage year, but he's not going back to junior.
No.
That's good. It's where he should be. Go have a great year. That Rafai, Marshall Rafai, he's off to a good start by everything I've heard down there. They needed a D-man.
Where's the lineup to camps back in?
Yeah, they didn't say.
No. Well, they're going to have some tougher decisions still in the next week or
well,
so.
Well, Patch Reddy is day to day, so they would probably.
So he'll go in.
Yeah, he'll go.
Yeah,
in. Yeah.
We won't see Patch Reddy then tonight,
no.
probably.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's hit a break.
All right. After the break, we'll welcome in Andy Strickland. We'll get a thought on the St. Louis Blues, including Broberg, and did the Edmonton Oilers make a huge mistake? That more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Toronto Maple Leafs, St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. Puck drop 7.
Yep.
Is it the only game again?
No, there's lots of games tonight. Thank God.
It's 48 games tonight.
Nine.
Good. That's a good number.
It's a good number.
Yeah. I think Nick Robertson's going to score again tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Floodgates. I've decided he's getting 20.
What?
Well, let's hope that it
who's up for
help. Influence the game.
Yeah, who's up for in right. that situation?
too cynical.
Our next guest, I don't think he's here yet, but if you'll remember correctly, the last time we had Andy Strickland on was before our show ended last year when Berube got hired. It was during our show.
Yeah, where was he? At Costco?
I tracked him down. I think Cost is the right spot. Maybe Cabo. He was like at a resort.
Yes, that's right. He was on vacation. I just remember him in a car.
You know, I think he was like at like a pool.
Oh, was he in a pool?
Yeah, and he came on our show.
In a car too.
No, he was in the car.
No, there was one where he was in the car for sure. Where?
Okay,
but there was one where he was.
Oh, where's he going to be now?
We're about to find out, boys. I don't know.
TTC. Is he in town? He follows the team.
Yeah, I'm
right?
not sure if he's in the town or not. We'll find
studio.
Out. Anyways. I just wanted to mention that.
Is Timothy Liljegren ever going to play for the Leafs again?
I don't think so.
You think?
No.
I don't think
so. He signed with $3 million this summer. He's played one game.
Maybe.
Game 8.
Maybe, just to keep him fresh. But he is clearly on the outside looking in. And
I think that says a lot about what they think of Timmins.
Listen, Timmins, to me, has been a lot more forceful, a lot more noticeable.
Did you see him?
He has more tools. Okay. No doubt he has more tools.
I don't know who it was in the Columbus game, but he tried to hammer somebody. He came flying through. I don't know who he had with his head down.
That's great to hear.
I was like, oh my God, that's allowed from you? So it's nice to see.
Yeah. I mean, he's a large body.
Yeah.
And at the end, how many chances did Liljegren get to take it and run with it.
So many. You can't say that he was denied opportunity. It's just you can say that since they gave him $6 million worth of contract, he has had no opportunity.
I will continue to say, why is Timothy Liljegren not a member of the Utah Hockey Club yet?
Yeah, for Utah's purposes.
It just makes so much sense.
It is hard, though, for a team that was striving to get depth on the blue line to just give away
I don't want the
right-handed shot.
I can see why Utah would want him, but I don't think the Leafs should trade him.
Not yet.
No.
There's really no sense. And if somebody goes down and you gave up a fourth for him or a fifth-round pick or whatever, some guy you never heard of.
Doesn't help you.
It's not really helping you.
So that's what you think you're going to get back from, somebody you never heard of?
I don't know. Okay, let's welcome in Andy Strickland, and maybe we'll talk about Liljegren's value.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Looking good.
Andy Strickland, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, fellas. How about you?
We had many of our dumb conversations. Like, where were you the last time you were on our show? Were you in a car or were you on the beach?
On the beach.
Yes. Okay, so Sammy's smarter than us.
Makes sense.
And I may have had a few too many. Remember you had to cut me off. I wouldn't shut up. I wouldn't stop talking. I just kept talking.
So is that
But, you know, you caught me. You caught me when I was having some margaritas when Chief signed.
If we ask you about this year's version of the St. Louis Blues, are you going to, is it enough for you to go on and on and on, or where are you on them?
I can be pretty quick. Listen, I think they're good enough to hang around. You hope when the calendar turns to April that they're still in position to have a chance. They're playing meaningful games come April. But they need a lot of things to go right. Number one, the power play hasn't been very good at all. They need the power play to be better. That's going to be a challenge now without Robert Thomas because he's the guy who pretty much drives it. They've been having issues with their entries in the power play. You talk to different players like Buchnevich or Kyrou, guys who are an integral part of the power play, and they say that's the issue. Well, Robert Thomas is the guy to get the puck into the zone and help set things up. They've tried Justin Falk up top. I felt like that was a improvement versus Torrey Krug, who had been that guy the last couple of years. Of course, they had Pietrangelo before that. Falk had been a very productive power play guy during his time in Carolina, really hadn't gotten much opportunity to be that guy here in St. Louis. The power play wasn't very good last year until Bannister took over. I think they were close to being dead last, maybe 31st in the NHL when Chief got fired. Then it got better. And as a result, they won a lot of games down the stretch. And as a result of that, Drew Bannister got the job. But they're going to need some spread out scoring. Certainly more scoring than what they're getting right now. They just had four straight games at home. They had a four-game homestand. No goals scored by Buchnevich or Kyrou or Robert Thomas in those four games. Of course, Thomas went down in the third period last game.
Andy, what are the personal stakes tonight for the St. Louis Blues and Craig Berube? You know, where were the relationships left, and who do you think this matters to most?
Well, listen, and I think you guys can chime in on this, too. You certainly know what it means to a guy to go up against your former team. And this is certainly a big game for Craig Berube. I think he'll make that clear to his coaching staff. If not, you know, guys like Mark Savard and Mike Van Ryan will let the guys know, hey, listen, this is a big game for Chief. Probably not as big of a game as it will be coming up on November 2nd when the team returns to St. Louis and they play at home. I was with a couple of his close friends today. Listen, I know this is a big game for Craig Berube. But it's a big game for the Leafs, too. You know, coming off of that loss against Columbus, they've lost, what, two or three now. They want to get their game back on track. But you can never lose sight of what it means from a personal standpoint. Whenever you won a championship with a team and then got fired by that team, the first time you face them, it's got to be meaningful. He knows pretty much everybody on the other side, although there's a lot of new faces. I think seven or eight new players in the Blues this season. But he knows a lot of guys. And they certainly know him, too. So they better be up. They better be ready to go when they face Toronto tonight.
Andy, we just spoke about trying to remember the situation between Kyrou and Berube that led to what was rather strange breakup, you know, when he left. And Sam reminded us that it was a comment like, he's not my coach anymore. And then it kind of took a life on its own where they actually booed Kyrou at home. And it's very seldom you see the fans take the position of a head coach that got fired over a current player. And just looking back now, Andy, I ask you this. Was it ever really that bad between Berube and Kyrou?
Listen, I think Berube will coach certain players very, very hard, especially offensive players, when he wants to get those guys to play the right way. You know, understanding time and score, when to live for another day. You know, we saw Jim Montgomery the other day jump Brad Marchand. You know, Monty worked under Chief here. That's kind of the way they are. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter if you're the best player or if you're a 20-year-old rookie. If you don't play the right way, they're going to get in your face. And some guys take to hard coaching better than others, you know. And I think it wore on guys like Jordan Kyrou, probably Robert Thomas as well. I think they were looking forward to a little bit of a change. Probably went both ways. You know, I think Craig Berube was looking forward to a change of scenery as well. Sometimes, you know, I just talked to Paul Maurice about this a few weeks ago when he was in Winnipeg, right? He knew he had gotten the most out of that team. It was time to step away. And you weren't going to go any further with that team with the Winnipeg Jets. And obviously, he goes to Florida. It's a better situation for him. I think Chief was, you know, kind of gotten to that point. Although maybe he was a little bit surprised the night that he got fired. And it was not a popular at all decision by Doug Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues. I mean, Craig Berube, one of the most popular coaches or athletes to come through St. Louis over the course of the last 20 years. The team had never won a Stanley Cup. He brings the first Stanley Cup here. He kind of represents, you know, the fan and the people who live here in St. Louis, how they go about their day to day, you know, kind of that blue collar guy. And they love Chief, you know. And so when Jordan Kyrou answered a relatively meaningless question with, "I'm not going to talk about Chief, he's not my coach anymore," that didn't go over very well, not only with the fans, but with the organization either. And I was doing the interview with Jordan Kyrou the game after he got booed. I mean, it was so upsetting for him. He got super emotional in the scrum. I went in the dressing room with a camera to actually talk to him about that. He got very emotional. And I said to some people after that this guy will come out and have a great game the next game, and the fans are going to give him a standing ovation. And he came out and he had a hat trick the following game. Ended up being the leading scorer for, you know, Drew Bannister after he took over, led the team in power play goals, led the team in scoring down the stretch. So I think he had to get through that. It was a learning experience for him. I asked Doug Armstrong about that again this offseason. You know, he came on our podcast with Cam Jansen and me, and I asked him about it. He said it was a stupid comment. So the organization did not like it, and I think it was a learning experience for him and a lot of other people too.
That's crazy to hear them weigh in on sort of a player's interview. You know, and obviously he, as you mentioned, he resonated a lot with St. Louis. You know, the offer sheets that St. Louis made this season, I don't know if those two players would fall under the blue-collar St. Louis mentality type guys, but they're two pretty speedy, talented hockey players. How have they fit in with the Blues so far? I'm talking about Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway.
Well, Broberg's been really good. I mean, he had points in the first six games of the season. He was on pace for 82 games, Kipper. He had 6 points in six games.
Not bad.
To start the season.
Not bad. You think anybody noticed in Edmonton?
He didn't get a point in his last game, but his speed jumped.
You'll see that here tonight when you watch him play. You watch him skate, and obviously you guys, you know, watched him in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. This guy can really get up and down the ice. Nick Leddy went down with an injury, and you know, that allowed Broberg to, you know, maybe get a little more comfortable, get some more ice time. He's been over 20 minutes in each of the last four games. And, you know, certainly playing with a lot of confidence right now. He's good with the puck, too. You know, not getting a whole lot of power play time. But, you know, it's the little things that he does. You know, he can recover quickly. He can turn with the best skaters in the league. He can, you know, get up ice and carry the puck, too, when he's got some time and space. And kind of be that one-man breakout, too. And, you know, he's competitive. And I think Holloway, similar situation. I think they tried to play Holloway a little further up the lineup when the season got going than probably he was used to, or maybe where he's capable of playing at this stage of his career. He's going to play center tonight, which I don't know if he's played center since the American League or even college going back to his day.
Play hockey. So, you know, we'll see how that goes for him and how long they stick with him in the middle. But, you know, he scored his first goal as a member of the Blues a couple of games ago on the recent homestand. You know, he can make plays. His speed stands out, but he can get in on the forecheck. He's a little more of a north and south guy. I think he fits in with the way that they want to play. So both players have fit in nicely. I think it's been a great fit for both of them. And I think they knew at the time they would get a greater opportunity here in St. Louis to have a bigger role, and both certainly have so far.
Jordan Binnington's got a Stanley Cup, just like Craig Berube, a ring. He's from the Toronto area, born in Richmond Hill. Where is he in all of this moving forward? There's a Team Canada team to be made. Everybody talks about Binnington. I'm sure a good showing tonight, you know, in this market would go a long way to solidify his spot on Team Canada. How has his start been?
It's been, listen, even when the team isn't performing well in front of him, he still makes, you know, one or two grade A saves a game. And he probably is the best option to represent Canada in the Four Nations. But I'll give you another name too, Joel Hofer, who the Blues backup is. This guy should be on the radar for Hockey Canada as well. You know, he won a gold medal in the World Juniors a few years back. He's 3-0 to start the season. This guy has number one goalie potential down the road. Like, he's really, really good. But Binnington, you know, the team hasn't played their best when he's been in between the pipes. But we all know that he can calm things down very, very quickly. He's an elite goaltender. When he's on his game, I truly believe he's a top 10 goaltender in the NHL when he's on his game. And, you know, I don't think he's played his best up to this point. I think he certainly has given the team a chance to win, and he's played good enough to win. You know, you look at the game the other night against Winnipeg, probably should have fared better in that game. The team is not scoring for him, you know, which is interesting because, you know, Toronto's not scoring a ton right now either in comparison to where they were a year ago. So we'll see what kind of game we get here tonight. But he could certainly use more offense and give this guy a lead. I think they have, what, maybe two, maybe three goals scored in the first period so far this season among the seven games. So, again, no real breathing room for, you know, Jordan Binnington. But I've seen him be better. He knows he can be better. He hasn't played bad, but there's another level for Jordan Binnington to get to, and probably another level for him that he needs to get to for this team to truly put up the necessary points to get in the playoffs.
Last one for me. Just want to get a thought on, I look at the team's lineup, you know, before the night before they play the Leafs, and the first pair interests me a lot. Colton Parayko, how has he been? And Ryan Suter?
Yeah.
Suter's playing first pair?
He is right now. This guy, I think he averaged around 19 minutes a game last year, something like that. And Nick Leddy's gone down with an injury, which has opened the door for Suter to slide up and now play with Colton Parayko. So I don't think that was the design coming into the season. But this guy doesn't overextend himself. Nope. He doesn't put himself
in situations. You know, he's approaching 1,500 career games, so he knows how to play the game.
These are amazing contracts with zero risk. And you have one over there, Max Pacioretty in Toronto. I mean, these veteran guys, I know he's coming off an injury. Maybe there was, you know, you needed to see him in training camp to see where he's at. But when you pay these guys under $1 million for their experience, they know how to play the game. Mm-hmm. And you throw in some bonuses there with their age, and they don't eat up much of the cap at all. I mean, this guy's making $750,000, and he's playing over 20 minutes a game right now. And I think he's settled down, Colton Parayko. Watch Ryan Suter play tonight. He never puts himself in a bad spot, makes the easy play, keeps things super simple. And I think it's been a good fit for Colton Parayko so far. Now, come and see me again as we get into game 50, 55 of the season. We'll see where it's at. He's 39 years of age. He's the oldest skater in the NHL. Marc-Andre Fleury is the oldest player. But, you know, I just saw a couple of them go toe-to-toe a couple of games ago, Ryan Suter versus Brent Burns. These guys keep themselves in great shape. They know how to play the game. They know where they're at with their game at this stage of their career. It's always interesting, man. I mean, you see a lot of guys who are 24, 25, making $3 million a year that don't know how to play, right, to be honest with you. This guy's 39. He knows how to play in the NHL. He's been a little bit of a surprise. I don't want to say a big surprise. You kind of knew what you were getting in him, but I think there's always a question mark when you get a guy who's 39. Can he still play at a high level? I think he's answered those questions early, and we'll see if that can continue.
And just one quick one here before we let you go. I know Torrey Krug's on IR, but, like, I was a huge fan. I really liked this guy coming out of Boston. I thought it was a good signing for St. Louis. Like, what's happened with this guy?
I think it's a great question. Listen, he never had great, you know, foot speed. The power play was a little bit different here in St. Louis versus, you know, what he was accustomed to in Boston. I'm not going to sit here and act like he didn't have some great moments here with the Blues either, and he didn't play some good hockey for stretches. There were times that he certainly did. You know, he got paid a big contract. I think people look at the $6.5 million cap hit, and, you know, he's just not a guy that I think it's a stretch to ask him to defend against the other team's top players night in and night out. Now, can he quarterback a power play? He absolutely can. Is he really, really competitive? Yes, he is. Is he a great teammate? Yes. Did the guys like him? Yes. Did he produce at the level that you would want from him? Probably not. Is he undersized? Yes. And couldn't really stay healthy either, you know, but this has been a lingering issue. They got it fixed. We'll see what the future holds for Torrey Krug. Really, really good guy. And I'm with you. Maybe he was insulated a little bit when he was surrounded by some of those other defensemen that he had in Boston. You know, they lost Alex Petrangelo, and the immediate reaction was to sign Torrey Krug. So the people, you know, around here kind of evaluated him as Alex Petrangelo's replacement, which is probably right. A little bit unfair. Petrangelo, a world-class defender who could also chip in offensively and put up some points. He's not Alex Petrangelo, but he had some good moments. But it's tough, you guys know. I mean, to play defense at that size, with how big the players are nowadays and how fast they are, it can be a challenge. And especially around the blue paint, I think that's where he struggled the most. It wasn't even the speed, defending speed. It was more so boxing out and just being able to get body position in front of the net. That was a little bit of a challenge for him. So defensively, just okay. But he had some good moments, too. I'm not going to act like he didn't.
Andy, great stuff, man. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for doing this.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Strick. Appreciate it.
Andy Strickland, co-host of the Cam and Strick podcast. See, I checked all the same boxes as Torrey Krug. I'm a good guy. I got along well. I didn't produce. We're exactly the same. I didn't get 6
million. You make
40
schmil, no?
Mm. Get 6.
A couple of the St. Louis Blues stats that might go well for the Leafs tonight. They're 27th on the penalty kill, killing about 70% of the penalties. 32nd in the league in shorthanded inner slot shots against. 31st in the league in zone denial. Like, their PK is bad. That could be good news for the Leafs power play tonight. Leafs power play could use some help. Not sure if you're familiar
really
with that.
Help.
Yeah. They're 26th in the really league, whereas the Blues are 25th on the power play. So St. Louis special teams stink right now, and the Leafs could use a little help.
No Thomas tonight. They're number one guy up front. And
no,
I'd say that would help the Leafs, but there's a lot of guys out of Columbus, too.
Yeah, they had no Boone Jenner, Gudbranson, or someone else.
Yeah.
Someone else who's a player.
Any vibes tonight?
Excited. I don't, like I said,
yeah.
Time will tell. Don't really know how to read in this game tonight.
You got to think they're going to come out with a lot of gumption.
The Leafs are going to pump them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that the score will be huge, but that was aggressive. I do think that the Leafs win by a couple goals tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're heading to our national hour. We'll talk about this off the top of the national hour, but some breaking news that the Vegas Golden Knights have locked up one of their long-term, one of their guys for long-term, Shea Theodore, on a long-term contract.
Really?
Yeah, we can be disgusted by the AAV and the other side of the break.
Six?
Save it.
Yeah, I will.
Save it.
Yeah.
I didn't
come back.
It.
Come back after the break and we'll talk about it.
All right.
Okay. We still have 60 seconds.
All right. Then let's talk about it.
I heard the music.
I heard the music too.
Leave the teasing to me.
I heard the music. Okay. I got
started
excited.
The tease.
Horrible timing.
I'm sorry, dude. Listen. I'm sorry.
So, how many guys can get away with listen?
Coop can get away with listen.
Sammy? Not
Strick,
so much.
Strick dropped a couple of listens.
Did he?
He did, yeah.
I've been known to say a couple of listens.
Berube saying listen.
Nobody says listen. It like John Cooper.
No.
Cooper's like, listen.
Sorry,
you disgusting.
Start the tease. Shea Theodore. We'll find out what the AAV is.
$16 million per year?
And the term. And Adam Oates.
Yeah.
There's a guy that can start a sentence with listen. Adam Oates, Hall of Famer. After the break, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.